some point it might be replaced by this 452 Atlas.
All right. So let's then take a look at the anatomy atlas. I will just go now to the default anatomy, and then you can go to display and MRI viewer. And
let's see what happens with my computer.
Okay, yes.
So you should have something that looks like this. So does everyone have this, the screen? So let me know if you have any problems. All right, so basically this is the basic MRI tool, so you can scroll through the different slices to examine the anatomy here. In different angles, you can use either the cursor like this, so then there are these slides that you can go through different segments. And I thought that we would just kind of get familiar with the MRI here, just go through some basic stuff about it. So, for example, where would you say that the corpus callosum is? You can maybe guide me a little bit here.
In between the two hemispheres.
Okay, yes. So you go to the middle.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
So this is the corpus callosum. So it's the kind of nerve fiber bundle that is connecting the two hemispheres. So what about, let's say, auditory cortex? So Heschel's gyrus.
Is it okay?
Go left or right.
Okay.
Then or right?
Then.
Down.
Okay, am I getting
there, no.
Close?
No.
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 So which direction?
Okay.
It's more high. It's higher.
Back.
Yes.
Go back there. Down.
Go back.
No.
Okay. Yes, it's of course in the temporal area, so
yeah.
I will make this easier. So, where is
you
it?
Are, you are just going there. Okay.
Yes.
So backwards.
This way or this way?
Down.
No, backwards towards the cerebellum.
No.
Oh, you
mean,
no, no.
Sorry, this is a bit difficult to follow your instructions. Okay, but we are now actually very close. So the easiest way to identify it is to go deep into the Sylvian fissure. So it's here, is the Sylvian fissure, and then you see here there is the gyrus at the back, and then. This is the Heschel's gyrus that extends then further down.
It's
you don't have that part in the brain, why? Because it's unlisted. Sometimes I would like to list it somewhere.
Okay. So as you can see, it's kind of, I mean, if you know if you're familiar with the particular gyrus, it's but relatively easy to find from there. But if it's something that you have never been looking before, then it's quite difficult to find it.
Yeah, tridimensional is different to
yes.
That part.
But there is.
It's a great thing to nothing to do at all.
Yes, but there is one guide here, so. It is M and I, and then you have X, Y, and Z coordinates. So basically, you can go and Google your gyrus or sulcus that you're looking for, and then just say M and I coordinates for that.
And then you can find it based on the coordinates here.
Of this model? Are these coordinates related only to this model then?
Well, this is in the M and I coordinate space, so all the individual brains will be morphed to this space.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you use the M and I coordinate system, of course. Right. So then, if you have individual MRI images, then there are a few brain structures that you need to be able to identify. So those are called the anterior commissure and the posterior commissure. So these are two nerve fiber or bundles that connect also the hemispheres together. So let's try to identify those. And the best way to do it is, of course, then to go to the center of the brain, because this is where you will be able to see nerve fibers that connect the two hemispheres.
Okay.
So does anyone have an idea where the anterior commissure could be? You can Google as well if you don't know. So the name says anterior, so it must be, I guess, to the front of the brain. So there is actually one white spot here, almost at the center of the brain here.
Actually, I have them here spotted already.
Yes, in some, I guess it's the, if you haven't accepted that yes, these are the correct coordinates,
okay,
then you have them visible on your screen.
All right.
Yes. Okay. So you can click on this white spot here. And then if you remove the crosshair, you can see better on the slices. So for example, here in the axial slide, you can see that there is this tiny nerve crack connecting the two hemispheres. Here. And also here. And then you have the posterior commissure, and as the name says, it's towards the back from this nerve crack. And here is a ventricular aqueduct, and above it you have then the posterior commissure.
Okay. Is another dot, kind of?
Yeah, kind of, but it's a little bit more difficult to find, but the good landmark is this aqueduct, so it's just above it. And then when you look at again the axial slide, you should see that there is this nerve crack connecting the two hemispheres, and also here, although in this coronal slide it's more difficult to see, but it's there. And why do you need to be able to identify these is that the MRI images are always aligned according to these two spots. So if I put back the crosshair, well, okay, it can be a little bit further down, but you can see that there is a horizontal line that goes then, that is aligned between these two nerve tracks. So all the individual MRI images are tilted in such a way that there's a line going almost through them. And this way you can then kind of align the individual anatomy then between your participants. Alright. But now you have the anatomy selected for your participant, So the next step would be then to align the anatomy with the functional data. So you have the anatomy, and then you have some kind of a, well, in this case, it's an individual anatomy, so we have an individual reconstruction of the scalp surface. And then in the case of EEG, it would look like this. So these are the coordinates of the different electrodes that have been on the scalp surface. And you basically align then these coordinates with certain anatomical landmarks and fit them to the anatomy. Or in the case of MEG, if you don't have electrodes, you have kind of digitized the head shape during your MEG recording, which are then represented by these green dots here. But the idea is the same. You then align these dots to be then representing the head shape in, as well as possible. And again, you have certain anatomical landmarks that you do this with. So do you know how these points are being generated during the recording? So how many of you know? Okay, a few. So there are several ways to do this, but the usual way is that you have this kind of a magnetic system. So you have kind of a pen where you mark the position of each of these electrodes, or then the head shape. And you basically just record where the tip of the pen is, and then you get the 3D coordinate system of the head shape or the electrode positions. And this is done just before you do the EEG or MEG recording. I guess we won't have any EEG or MEG demos. No. Okay. So maybe on some other course you can then try this to generate these head points yourself. But we can then look then in Brainstorm how this is done. And you can of course imagine that if these head points are not correctly aligned, so for example if your situation looks like this and then you are looking at the topography of your responses, it might not be very accurate because here the kind of the anatomy and the functional data do not align, so these are inside the head, these head points at the back, for example. But if you go back to the Brainstorm, you can then go to the functional data again. And you should have these NeuroMag channels. They're visible. So if you right click on it, you get several options. And one of them is this MRI registration. And you can choose edit. Kind of an image appearing on your screen.
Like this.
Yes. So there's the MEG helmet, visualize, and then these hit points, and then the template anatomy skin surface. And now you can then try to align the head positions. There are options at the top of the screen here. Okay, now it's so basically behind this screen you have options here with which you can move the head like back and forth, up and down, left or right. You can also rotate it in different directions if needed. So you can try to get the now the head points so that they would be something like this. And there's also one cheat button there, which is called the refine. I will just try that if I disconnect this and then get the image on my screen and then reconnect.
And it gives you instructions how what to do.
Yeah.
So right click and move at the same time. But it only allows you to do it on one axis at a time.
Yes. So you have the different options here at the top. And then you have this little bit scary looking icon that looks like a skull or something. So that's the G button. So that will automatically try to align the head points with the head shape as well as possible.
So can we use the cheat button?
Yes, you can. But just for practice, you can also want to maybe try the other buttons as well to align it as well as you can. And how do you know whether it's...
It doesn't work for us. We can change the orientation of the head, but we cannot change the helmet. I don't know.
There's also the rotation.
Yeah. We have. I've tried both. So I did this.
Just move the head.
Just move
the head. It works, but it's a bit odd.
So with the right click, you can.
With the right
click. Yes.
With the right.
Allow you to.
It's a bit. We have to alter it, but it's
yes. Okay. And how do you then know whether it's properly aligned or not? So there are three anatomical landmarks that are perhaps well better shown here. So there's something called nasion, which is between the eyes here. And then there are pre-auricular points on the left and right. So here, or here and here. So these are landmarks that are marked during the MEG recording. So you mark these two spots and the nasion spot, because these are easy to identify in the MRI image. Well, easy, but at least easier than other spots. And these are then... aligned with the corresponding positions in the MRI image.
You need the degree just to use this program.
And you might at some point notice that, okay, the fit is not perfect. Well, this is of course because these are individual head points and this is an average template. So of course they don't fit perfectly. But there are some tricks that you can do to get the fit a little bit better. So if you click on this cheat button and get the best possible fit that you can get with it, and you can just check by eye that okay, it doesn't look too weird.
It looks very weird.
Okay. So how is it weird?
You have something like that.
Okay. Well, then you can manually try to align it better. But it should at least give you a good starting solution. Okay. So it's a little bit high. Yeah, at the back. So maybe you can try to move it forwards.
Yeah, how can you use these points? Like they, no matter what I do, they are they these? Because they don't change if I do anything.
It's inside the head.
Well, it should be
these. Okay. No. Yeah. So, am I trying to get these?
And then the pre-auricular points are a little bit difficult to find from the average MRI because the ears are not very well visible there. But these points have been marked already in your default anatomy, and that's trying then when you press this shape button to use those points to align the anatomy.
Sorry, I have a problem.
All right.
The cup is small.
The cup. I didn't even understand how.
Can you tell me the cup is
Looks good. Okay, I'll put it back. And this. Here we go. Oh, it looks better.
No, if I could just
a bit.
Touch.
You have it a bit.
What is this?
It's a serpent.
Right.
That has to be preserved.
So, in some cases, the template anatomy is, for example, too large. So, if you have a small-headed participant, or the other way around, that it's too small. So, you can then scale the anatomy as well. So, from the digitized head points, you can find something called warp. And deform default anatomy to fit these points. Sounds a bit scary, but it's fine to do this. So did you find this?
Where is it again?
So it's again in the neuromag channels, digitized head points, warp. And it will give
you... They ask me to scale or...
Yes. Exactly. So the scaling means that it's just making it larger or smaller depending on the head points that you have available. The warp one is actually a bit more scary. So it's actually trying to shape the MRI according to the individual head points. So sometimes this works and sometimes the warp just creates something that doesn't look like human at all. So you need to be careful if you do the warping. So some of you might want to try the warp now,
and some might
want to try the scale.
The non-human shape is really appealing.
Yes, but I think in this case you will get the relatively human looking, if it's working the same way as on my computer.
It takes quite a lot of time.
It takes maybe a minute or so.
But it asks for
how many points?
Yes. So, if you leave it at the default 2, then you probably get a more deformed head. But if you exclude more points, because we have digitized, for example, the nose,
Okay.
So then you can say that exclude 5% of the points, and then it usually gets you a little bit better looking.
So should I write 5?
Yes. Better looking approximation for your head shape.
Is it always also faster?
It doesn't really into which
a lot of number at
once.
Not really, no.
It's gonna have like a dog.
Alright, so then it will run for a while, and there will then be an image appearing where you can check whether your warping worked or not. So it will show the sculpt surface, and then embedded on that head you will then have the brain as well. Then you can check whether there's like strange protrusions in the brain or something that will give you a hint that maybe I shouldn't use this.
Well, this resembles a human, but...
Okay, quite interesting to see what you've got there.
Something wrong with this.
Yes. Guy. Yes, indeed. That's... Yeah, I wouldn't use that as a realistic head model for this person. Serious head injuries, if that's like... Hmm?
It's Christmas.
Is it
really? No. Merry Christmas.
Is it
really?
Why not?
I like that. No, this is after being formed into based on the hit points. So that's why it's usually recommended to use the scaling and not the warming.
It was so warm.
It's about the virus.
Where I live now, there are 17 degrees. 17 where I live now.
Oh,
yes,
also about
this,
it's
getting
from here,
yes. Okay. So this is
question
for
you.
So you need the evil.
You're
from this.
Yes, so you can see that there's no really.
What did I
understand?
I used to do
that.
I love it.
You are from the same
region.
No. How do I undo this?
Well, you just run it again. Using the scale.
This is it. First of all.
I mean, it's not functional.
It's
about one of the ones who are people anatomy.
I've been to
the work and function just crashed, man.
Ah, okay.
It was the first
time. Yeah. All right. So, those of you who used the warping, I mean, you can of course try to use it and see what happens if you use this kind of a brain, but in reality, you should then just use the scaling, so you can redo it and just ask it to do the scaling instead.
So it messes up this part.
Yes, and that's probably because we don't have too many head points here in the digitization part. So the more points you take during the data recording session, so with the digitizing pen, the better the result will be then here. And by the way, when are we going to have lunch?
It's up to you, or up to our consensus here.
Okay.
But it might be a good idea that we don't have a lunch break at 15 to 12, because then it will be crowded. So whenever you feel like there's good time to have a pause.
Yes.
Yeah, between a huge chunk.
Yeah. So, for example, this might be a good... Yes,
yeah.
Have a lunch.
This
right.
How many headphones?
And the next one is in Sony.
Oh yeah, we have to go elsewhere. Yeah, that's right. That's just, this is very stupid, but...
Isn't it in the same building?
Same building, yes. In the computer class. How was it?
2.1.1.
2.1.1.